The nation's treasurers are meeting in Canberra today to discuss population, infrastructure, the NDIS and the economy. And the federal treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, will also be there. He joins us now. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Nice to be with you, Sabra.
By the end of today, will the state and federal government have agreed on a list of three or four crucial projects that you can crack on with and that will have real practical benefit for Australians?
I think we will make very constructive progress today. Certainly the dinner we had last night had a positive mood to it. Since the last time we met, we've had a federal election and a New South Wales election, and there's an understanding that we need to put our political differences aside and to get on with the job of serving our constituents, namely the Australian people. So there are important issues in relation to infrastructure. We'll be discussing the NDIS, health reform, the population framework and a whole host of other areas.
So on progress, but will you actually say, these are the things that we can agree on, we'll fund these, we'll crack on and get on with it?
Well, yes, we have identified those key areas in relation to heavy vehicle reform, which we need to progress. We've focused on other areas in relation to the NDIS, environmental approvals, we've identified skills, we've identified, and we're also looking at how to potentially bring forward infrastructure projects.
On the infrastructure projects point, the Reserve Bank says that you could spend money now on infrastructure and get the economy revving up. You've got the firm EY recently pointed out that there are plenty of existing infrastructure projects around Australia that could be repaired right now that would boost productivity, create new jobs and benefit everybody. Is that an idea that you're going to adopt?
Well, certainly there are possibilities to bring forward projects, and we do need to agree with them, and they're perhaps not using the Tier 1 and Tier 2 contractors but using some of the smaller players, because we are hitting capacity constraints, particularly in the big markets of Melbourne and Sydney. But you also have to acknowledge, Sabra, that we do have the biggest pipeline of infrastructure projects underway in Australia's history, $100 billion over 10 years. And after 50 years of indecision, we're now building a second airport in Sydney, which will create some 28,000 jobs by the time it's fully rolled out and support them. We've got the Melbourne to Brisbane Inland Rail, which is going to create 16,000 jobs. And, of course, building an airport rail link in Melbourne. So there's a whole series of projects which are creating jobs, busting congestion, that we are working federal and state governments closely on.
What do you say to people who've moved to the city fringes? And we heard earlier this week on AM, people in Tarneit in Melbourne, the promise of great housing, great transport links, but at the end of the day, there's this mad dash from the train station to get to your car so that you avoid a massive traffic jam. There are ghost bus stops where buses never stop. People feel dudded, and they feel that, you know, the words that were mentioned, that ghettos are being built.
Well, in Melbourne, you've seen the fastest growth in a city anywhere in the country. It's growing about 2.5% per annum, about more than 2,000 people per week. And obviously, that's putting great pressure on public infrastructure like transport, but also schools and medical services. That's why we as a government have committed more than $27 billion on infrastructure since we came to government. But that's why also today we're seeking to align better federal and state responsibilities. The federal responsibilities are around population, state responsibilities primarily around infrastructure, housing approvals, and if we can better align those responsibilities, share more data, then I think we can get better outcomes.
You say that. In 10 years from now, our population's expected to be 30 million people. Within 10 years, where people look at our cities now, 25 million, we're absolutely struggling now with current demand.
Well, certainly population growth has been much more than forecast. Interestingly, they did an IGR, an intergovernment report, intergenerational report back in 2002, where they expected Australia to hit 25 million people by 2040. As you know, we met that number last year. And there's no doubt that the population growth has focused on Melbourne, Sydney and southeast Queensland. That's where about two-thirds of the population growth has been. I think with better planning, better data sharing, we can get better outcomes.
All right. The Reserve Bank cut official interest rates last week. The big banks thumbed their noses at it. They kept some of it to themselves. You've urged people to shop around. You're going to meet with the bank bosses in coming weeks. What are you going to be telling them?
I'm going to tell them to put their customers first and that it's not good enough not to pass on these rate cuts on in full, particularly as the Reserve Bank has pointed out that their cost of funding has come down substantially.
You've told them that already. You've tried to carpet them and they're just ignoring you.
Well, there are two points here. The first is We are empowering consumers to more easily move banks, and we're doing that with the passage through the Parliament of the Consumer Data Right. But secondly, of the 75 basis point rate cuts that we've seen the banks pass on 57 basis points of that. So that's not insignificant. For someone who has a mortgage on a $400,000 on their home, that means a saving of more than $1,500 a year in lower interest payments. But we expect the banks to do more. That will be my message to them.
Okay, the IMF overnight has said global warming is a clear and present threat and that there perhaps should be a global carbon tax to cut emissions, that it's more effective than government interventions like direct action. Would Australia accept a global carbon tax?
No.
Treasurer, thank you very much for joining the program.
Good to be with you.